Well, church, last time before Pastor Jeff's back, let's have some fun today. If you guys have your Bibles, can you guys turn to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 to 16? When you guys are there, just say holla, just to let me know that you guys are there. Say holla when you are there. I want to start. There's some of the slides. This might, you know, I've only done this a couple times, and the slides may be just a little small. Forgive me, I'm sorry, but just pay attention, and it's pretty much my notes, so you should be good to go, okay? Awesome. Are you guys there? Holla, holla, holla. All right, Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 to 16. Adam made love to his wife Eve, hello, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and also Abel brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. The reason why God was more interested in Abel's was because of his mindset. His mindset was to give his best to God. And God is more concerned with our heart and that he is getting the glory than something that looks just great. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door." And if you are into marking up your Bibles, I encourage you to underline this. "It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." But you must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were there in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Ooh. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the Lord, from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opens its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. I got two more verses. You guys don't have to turn there. James 1, 19 to 20, if you want to write that down. "My dear brother and sister, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Ephesians 4, 26 to 27. "If you're angry, do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so excited to share this message today, God, and I just pray that we will be more concerned with honoring you and glorifying you, Father. I ask that you help me speak with clarity and confidence. Will you bless our leader today, Father, whatever he is, whatever he's doing? I just pray favor and blessing upon him. And will you please bless the Colorado Avalanche tonight as they beat the Nashville Predators? In your name, amen. All right. Why don't you guys turn to the person next to you and just tell them some of your pet peeves. Just tell them some of the things that kind of gets you just a little bit frustrated, just a little annoyed, just kind of the things that kind of boil your water. Maybe it is the person next to you, and you guys can just have a solid confessional time right now. Just turn to them and just tell them some of the things that annoy you a little bit. All right. Me and Malaya right now, we're doing some marriage counseling because I'm getting married in just over 30 days. Hey, hello. It's going to be good. And so we are doing some marriage counseling right now. And during this marriage counseling, we had to take a quiz separately. So Malaya took one part of the quiz. Malaya took the quiz. I took the quiz. And we weren't allowed to discuss. I really wanted so we can kind of copy answers. She's just so smart. But she's like, "No, Nicholas, we have to." Okay, Malaya, okay. So we're doing our marriage counseling, and we get to the portion about conflict, okay? We get to the portion about conflict. We need to talk about the differences, the kind of how we work through conflict. Now, there's kind of a spectrum, okay? There's one side of the spectrum, which basically these are like the real people. They're like, we have problems, we need to work through this. That's kind of one side of the spectrum. That's those kind of people that they kind of like, you know, like, we need to work through this, we have problems. Then there's the other side of the where people are just like, things are great, we're doing great, and they're just so passive aggressive, okay? Malaya scored 19, I want to say I have permission for all the Malaya stories, okay? She scored 19%, which means that she's more on the side like, Nick and I, we have some stuff we need to work through. Like, we're not always on the same page. I want to work through things. Like, that's, we have some problems, okay? 19%. Now, the average couple, they probably score, maybe one person will score, you know, 20, and then another person will score 30 or 40. You know, it's kind of close, okay? Now, this is a confessional time. Please forgive me. I didn't just score, you know, Malaya scored 19. That means she really views it really realistically, okay? I wish I could say I scored 25%. That didn't happen. I wish I could say I scored 40%. That didn't happen. Not even 50%. I scored, and the pastor who's working with us, he said, I have never seen this before. You scored 95%. 95! And I'm like, that's great. Like, that's so, we're great. And so the way I view things, I'm like, we are great, Malaya. We're just the best couple ever, you know? Like, I can't wait, you know? Things are great, 95%. And it all goes back to Malaya and I have this saying. I always tell her whenever we talk, whenever we finish a conversation, I always say, we good? We good? We good? And she's like, oh my goodness, yes, we're good. You know, I'm like, I love you. I love you too. And shout out to Malaya, because I know you're going to be watching this. I love you, baby. I love you. I want to let you guys know, you are allowed to get angry, okay? Are you guys with me? You are allowed. Oh, yes. You guys are allowed to get angry. You are allowed to get angry. When Pastor Jeff asked me to do this message, my initial reaction is like, I really think Pastor Steve should do this, because Pastor Jeff made him plan Easter with just right before he was going to Miami. So I don't know, you know. I'm not a very angry person. That's something that's not really in my nature. But when I was preparing this message, I realized, you know, there were some moments where I know that I get frustrated, I get annoyed. But that's not really in my DNA to get angry. So I really had to dig deep for this message. And what I realized is that you are allowed to get angry. It is okay to be angry. But the problem is that many of us, there are two types of, when you are angry, you can respond in two ways. You can respond with rage, or with righteousness. With rage or with righteousness. We have a choice to respond. And many of us, sometimes you guys, you know, some people use the excuse, I'm just passionate. I'm just passionate. But you respond with that rage. Now, it is okay to be passionate. I am going to be talking about that righteous passion. But many of us, we choose to respond with rage. When I actually believe that we have a choice, I am not speaking anger management over your life. When I'm actually speaking that we will choose righteousness. We will choose righteousness. When we are angry, we will choose righteousness. The main point for today, if you're into taking notes, the whole message summarized into this one line, isn't that great, is that when angry, our response can be with rage or with righteousness. When angry, our response could be with rage or with righteousness. And I'm challenging that we will choose the righteous path. The goal is that we will leave with a better understanding that it is okay to be angry. It is okay to be angry and choose the right way to respond. Are you guys with me? We'll move forward. Rage, number one, rage. So I have a list, the difference between rage and anger. The difference between rage and anger. And if you would like this list, I am more than happy to give it to you. Someone from our wonderful congregation gave me this list. A normal human emotion. Anger is a normal human emotion. Rage is a reaction to anger. Anger, take responsibility for one's own feelings. Rage blames others for feelings. Anger informs the hearer. Rage scares the hearer. Anger is not violent. Rage is violent and/or aggressive. Anger is used to communicate with the other. Rage is meant to silence the other. Anger is brief and then let go with a sense of closure. Rage brews from resentment and is often held onto after a confrontation. Anger can exist without response. Rage needs the other to justify its existence. Anger contains sadness and disappointment, and these are acknowledged. Rage masks hurt, disappointment, and fear of not being in control with a false sense of control. Anger, last one, is an intimate response to rejection that can build bridges. Rage is a stubborn reaction to rejection that punishes and creates distance. I do have some pet peeves. Please forgive me. There are some pet peeves. There are a couple things that do frustrate me. Number one, I have a hard time hanging around angry people, okay? There are a select few that I continually love to hang out with, but I just have a hard time with angry people. I don't know why. To me, I'm not a very negative person. I don't like to be surrounding myself with angry people because it's just draining. It is just draining when all they do is complain, or there's no positive. I'm like, do you even like live a positive life? Like it just frustrates me, and I don't want to be like that. And I know that when I continually hang out with negative people, that starts to become my DNA, and I don't want that. But I do understand that often it is stemming from something deeper. I understand that. Another thing that kind of frustrates me is show-offs. I have a hard time with people that just continually show off. Like, we get it. You're great. You're awesome, okay? You don't have to continually talk about it. When I was in Bible college, oh my goodness. There were some guys that would, they you know, tough guys in the dorm rooms, they want to say, you know, I definitely had some OHL contracts, but God called me to ministry. And I'm like, yeah, bud, you weren't going to the NHL, okay? You weren't going. I'm sorry, okay? Then this is the last one, okay? And please forgive me. I have a problem with runners, okay? I look at runners and they make me angry, okay? If any of you guys are runners, it's not you. I love you guys. I love you guys. But it's just a part of me that when I see a runner, it is a storm. It is pouring rain. It is winter. And you are running. I just pray over them. Lord, just smack the silliness out of them. Just smack it out. Like, I just can't get it. Like, oh my goodness, Lord, please forgive me. I love runners. Speaking that now. But I just have a hard time with runners. They frustrate me, okay? I don't get it. My mom's a runner. I love her. In Genesis 4, what I see is that when we are angry, we have a choice. We have a choice on how we respond to our anger. Genesis 4, verse 7. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. God is giving you a choice. When you are angry, you have a choice. God's not saying, listen, Cain, you're angry. You're just an angry person. It's okay to be downcast. No, what he's saying is that you have a choice. You have a choice in how you respond to your anger. We have a choice, church. When we are angry, we have a choice in how we respond. To not respond with rage, because that leads to sin. That leads where we start to be angry. We start to build that resentment, that rage towards people. But God's actually saying that you have a choice. You have a choice in that the rage is the sin. The rage is the sin. And that he's challenging us to live that righteous life, to choose righteousness. Our anger is often a result from our deeper hurts. What I found is that when we are angry, when someone is angry, when someone does have that rage, it often is a result from deeper hurts. Kind of like what Pastor Steve was talking about last week. Deeper roots, that bitterness. it's often a result from them. That we need to understand that if we see someone who's angry, if someone has that rage, we need to understand where it's coming from, to give them that grace. And hopefully maybe God can work through us to help them. For me, you know, like I just mentioned, I do sometimes get annoyed. Like, we all go through hard weeks. We all have hardship. I go through hardship. But my outlet, when I'm not here at the church, I am normally doing my martial arts. That's something that I love. That is my outlet. I love going to martial arts. When I was younger, I wanted to be a police officer. So I got into martial arts. I got into wrestling. That's the stuff that that really excites me. And so here, when I got hired here, I'm like, I want to do some martial arts. So if I can call up Jason Coughlin to the stand, I love Jason Coughlin. Can you guys just give him a round of applause? Okay. So I'm going to give you guys a visual of what I'm like at martial arts, okay? So I got this shield. Jason's going to hold it for you, okay? Jason's going to hold it. Do you know how to hold it?
No.
Okay, I'm going to show you. So it's kind of like... So Jason's going to hold it for you. Now, this is my outlet. Jason is, he is one of my closest friends. I love him so much, church. You guys, I really need to honor him because he helps me in so many ways, like in youth ministry and whatever it is. I love Jason Coughlin. So we are so grateful to have him. And he does such a great job playing the guitar on Sundays. Anyways, when I'm at martial arts, this is the time where I'm not really Pastor Nick, but this is my outlet where I can just kind of let out my frustration, let out my pet peeves. So there's time, so I'm going to kind of give, you might want to, I don't want you to hit that. Maybe stand right here. Maybe stand right here. I won't go hard. So sometimes when I'm frustrated, what goes on in my head, you know, during the week, there may be, you know, sometimes a youth. We have an amazing, amazing youth event. Maybe just go a little bit here. I just want, you know, thanks, buddy. Thanks. We have an amazing youth event. Like, I am preparing a message. It's going to be so great. And we have an amazing event. And then I text the youth, hey, I hope you're having a great week. I really hope to see you at youth this week. Do you think you will bless us by helping me see you? And do you know how they respond? No, Pastor Nick. I'm too busy playing Fortnite tonight. Oh, I just get so angry. I just kick the shield. I'm too busy playing Fortnite tonight. Or there's sometimes, you know, where I'm driving home from youth. Now, please forgive me for this. I am not perfect. We are working on it. But there's times where I'm coming home from youth, and all I want to do, I just had a great night at youth. You know, we went to war. We were saving lives at youth. And all I want to do is just call my sweet, beautiful, amazing Malaya, and I just want to just talk to her and just relax, you know, just chill. But Malaya, she knows that we have this routine. She knows that I call her after youth, that's our time. After junior high youth, I call her. And Malaya is waiting for me to call her because that's her time where she can talk about what's going on. But me, I'm just so exhausted. And she's like, Nick, that is so great what happened at youth. That is so amazing. And what does she do? Nick, do you think we can have like a really serious chat right now at 11 o'clock at night? And I just kicked the shield. I just get so angry. We're working on it. We're working on it. We're working on it. And that's my time. This past week, this is the very last one, okay? This past week, I was, we finished church on Sunday. Now, I don't want to expose any names because you may or may not know this individual, but I got a text from someone in Cambodia, okay? This past week during the ice storm, okay? During the ice storm. Now, I don't want to expose any names, but this person in Cambodia messages me, hey, Pastor Nick, I know that the ice storm just happened, but can you go to my house and just, like, clean all the ice off my car? And I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. He didn't do that, but I'm kidding. Thank you, Jason. Give a round of applause to Jason. I had to throw that in there. He keeps threatening to fire me all the time. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, oh, hello. We have a choice to respond with rage or with righteousness when we are angry. And I want to give you guys some practical tips. When you guys are in this, next time you get angry, write down the triggers and identify where it comes from. When you are angry next time, write down the triggers. Find out where it's coming from, because often our rage, when we are angry, it's stemming from something deeper that you may not even be aware. But writing it down, identifying, is a practical way that we can help to work on it. Not all anger is bad, and there is actually some great things that can happen in our anger. I believe that when we are angry, we have a choice to respond with rage or with righteousness. So our second point, righteousness. Nehemiah, I don't think we have time just to really get into the verse, so I'm just going to give you just a summarization of it. But Nehemiah is in the Old Testament. It is one of my favorite books. There is so much leadership vision in Nehemiah. But in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3 to 11, what we see is that Nehemiah finds out he is a cupbearer. So he's just the cup boy. He does the dishes. He brings cup, tea, to coffee, whatever it is, to the king. He finds out the wall of Jerusalem is destroyed. Oh, man. He finds out. And what does he do? How does he respond? He runs away. He starts weeping for days, and he starts fasting. He has this anger inside him, this passion that's building up inside of him. And what God speaks to him, and he actually places on his heart that I'm going to use you. That passion that you have, that anger you have, I'm going to use you to rebuild this wall. Just a cupbearer, just the tea boy. God uses this man to rebuild a wall and protect Israel, to lead them back to God. That's the power when we are angry, the passions that you have, that rage. God may be placing in you that passion, that desire to do something incredible that cannot just affect you, but a whole nation. We have a choice when we are angry to respond with rage or with righteousness. Our anger can bring passion for change. When we are angry, our anger can bring passion for change. What you need to know is that when I was younger, when I first got saved, the reason why that I kept going to church, the reason what made me keep going into church and what was the community. I loved the community. I had a great youth group. We were a family. We would hang out Wednesday nights, Friday nights, Saturdays, and Sunday nights. We hung out so much. We built a family atmosphere, and that we would walk through. We would support one another. We would walk with one another, and we would cheer each other on. There was this community. It was a healthy ministry. But what I see today, and so many churches, is that we were in my youth group days. We were the church. To me, that's what the church is. We would meet together. We would pray together. We would do ministry together outside of church. We would just go downtown just to minister to people. Because that's what we felt what the church was. But today, when I come to church, I know that there are so many people that just have this negative view of the church. They have this negative view of the church. They bash the church. They complain about the church. And the truth is, they're generalizing it. They're saying that is the whole church, when in reality, it's just a couple people. It is just a small group of people. But they bash the whole church, and it gets me so frustrated. You know, it gets me angry. And some of you guys may go home today. It's like, I really don't like the songs that Pastor Steve played today. I really can't believe that Nick's wearing white sneakers on stage as he's preaching. You know, you guys may say different things like that. Some of the ministry, I can't believe Nick was talking like a little kid when he was preaching on Sunday. We get so angry. We bash the church. But in reality, I want us to be praising the church, talking about the great things that's happening in church. The youth ministry, it has grown so much. And what I love most about the youth ministry, I need to break. My students, they're hanging out on their own now. They just went to Flying Squirrel just a couple weeks ago. The guys went to Flying Squirrel. It's kind of weird, but I'm so proud of them. I love that they all hung out together. They're all going to come over. We're all going to hang out later tonight. We are a family, and I love praising it. I love seeing the church grow. On Easter, we had 700 people here. How incredible is that? I want to be praising and talking about the great things, the positive things that's happening in this church. I want us to be talking about the positive things because the church has done so much to me because of what I've gone through in the past, because of what I've experienced. That healthy church-like atmosphere, that's what made me here today. My goal, my passion is to create a ministry, to create a family-like atmosphere in a church. I want every single person who walks into my youth ministry to know that they are welcomed, to know that this is a safe place, and most importantly, that they are loved by God. That is my goal. They are loved by God. That's what I'm passionate about. So I get frustrated when people bash the church because I hear of the great things that the church is doing. And most importantly, it's the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for the church. And that's what frustrates me the most, is that he died for this church and we're bashing it. But I want us to, that passion for me, that anger, it is bringing change for me because I want you guys to feel welcomed, to feel loved, to feel that this is a safe place. When we are angry, we have a choice to respond with rage or with righteousness. So the practical for righteousness, pray and bring it before God. When you are angry, perhaps it is a passion God placed in you to bring change. The very thing that you're angry about, it could be the very thing that God's using you to bring change to wherever you are. I would love to call up the worship team right now, if you guys are able to. I want to close with this story. When Malia and I first started dating, I was in Bible college. We met in my last year of Bible college, the first semester. And I was still going through some hard times. I still had some stuff to work through. The truth is, when I first met Malia, I didn't like women at all. Like I just had this anger towards them. I just wanted nothing to do with them because I told myself I want to do just a year of just me and Jesus. And then I met Malia and I'm like, oh baby, you're nice. And so we started talking. I'm hey baby. And then we started talking and more and I said, you know what, this girl is so different. She is so incredible, so amazing, and her heart for Jesus is like no other. Malia is, I need to break. She is just so amazing, so incredible. I love her so much. But when we first started dating, we had that whole first semester together. We spent so much time together, just dreaming, talking about ministry, talking about our background, what our families are like. And second semester, when we were distant, because I was away on internship, we spent a lot of time apart. There was some FaceTime calls, but I was all in. I was all into to my internship, and our relationship started to stretch apart. We started not spending as much time together. And this anger started to build up inside of me because of a past hurt, because of this stuff, this deeper roots that I was going through. And I remember one time we were FaceTiming one night, and we started talking about finances, and she was explaining just some of the debt she will have because of the nursing, because she went away for school, and some of the debt that she will have when she graduates. For me, I took a year off before I went to school. I did not want any debt because I know what it's like living in debt. And I did not want to have that in my relationship when I'm married. And so we started to fight about it. We started to argue about it. And what I realized, she slowly said the words that I never heard her say. And she said, I'm starting to doubt. I'm starting to doubt in our relationship. I just don't know if we are meant to be together. And I was feeling that same thing for the whole time on internship. But I kept going back. I'm like, no, she's so confident. She trusts in this. She really feels that we're meant to be together. And I remember hearing those words that she spoke. And it crushed me. It crushed me. I was so hurt. And in that moment, when I realized that it was deep, the issue wasn't just finances. There was something deeper than that. There was some hurt that I had to go through. And when I heard her say those words, and I felt like I was about to lose her, I instantly realized that I could either choose rage or righteousness. And I'm going to choose righteousness. And in that moment right there, I promised her, I'm going to give you my everything. I'm going to love you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to chase after you. I love you so much, and you are the most beautiful girl that I've ever met, and you are the most incredible individual. And I made a commitment to follow her. And in that day, to this day, we're not perfect. We still have not fun conversations. But in just over 30 days, we're getting married. I thought you guys would cheer for that. In just over 30 days, I am marrying Malia Sheridan, and I am so lucky. And we go back to that moment often, because that was a defining moment in our relationship. For some of you, that may not be a big deal, but for us, that was huge, because I realized that it was in that moment I could either choose to respond with rage or with righteousness. I believe that there's some of you guys today that may have some hurt. You guys may have some deeper roots, some anger moments. But you guys, I want to provide that opportunity where you can come to the altar and surrender it to God. I want to close with this, some practical tips. Proverbs 14:29. It speaks, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. Proverbs 17:27. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. These practical tips. Next time you feel angry, ask yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Identify which response is the righteous one. And when angry, ask yourself, what happened? What I believe about what happened? What I felt? If I can call up the prayer team for this, I want to close with this. Some of us have some unsettled anger, and every time you try to attempt to let it go, it keeps coming back. With sin and the battle of our flesh, we are self-seeking. But today, I want us to seek Holy Spirit. I want us to seek Holy Spirit. Seek Jesus, who conquered death and the grave, and find healing and his help to release that anger. If you guys have some anger that you guys want to kind of release, I want to invite you to the altar, and we're just going to have someone praying for you, praying that release so that you will choose righteousness. Or maybe you know someone that has that anger. Maybe you're saying, I'm good. You know, that anger is not something that I really struggle with, but you know someone who is. I want to invite you to come to the front and just seek that prayer, to seek Jesus. So I'm about to close, and if you guys want prayer, if you want that release, I want to invite you to have that opportunity. But before we go, I always want to have a salvation call. So with every head bowed and with every eyes closed, if you have not made that personal relationship with Jesus, if you cannot say that you know that if you died today, you would spend eternity in heaven, I want to give you that opportunity right now. And all you have to do is to just acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. He rose from the dead 3 days later, and he has the power to forgive your sins, and that you can begin that relationship with him. If you are in this place and want to begin this amazing, life-changing relationship with him, will you just slip up your hand? You can put it right back down, just between you and I. Awesome. Thank you. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into it, okay? So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and goodness and faithfulness. And God, I just pray that we will be reminded, we will choose righteousness, God, that when anger happens, when we feel angry inside, we'll not choose rage, but we'll choose righteousness. Because God, we want to be following you, we want to be pursuing you, and we want to embrace all the amazing things that you have for us. Bless this amazing church. I'm so thankful for them. I love them, God. And more importantly, I know that you love them. Let them know that you have great things for them. In your name, everybody said, amen. You guys have an amazing Sunday. Again, if you want to come to the front for some prayer, you're more than welcome to.